The 24, chanting this song sung by Lord Shiva, Shloka 76. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yaimam Shraddhaya Yukto, Yaimam Shraddhaya Yukto, Madgitam Bhagavat Stavam, Madgitam Bhagavat Stavam, Adhiyano Duraradhyam. Iyano Duraradhyam Harim Maradhayatyasau Harim Maradhayatyasau Yaimam Shraddhaya Yukto Madgitam Bhagavat Stavam Iyano Duraradhyam Harim Aradhayatyasau. Prabhus? Yaimam Shraddhaya Yukto Madgitam Bhagavat Stavam Adhiyano Duraradhyam Harim Maradhyasau. Attached Madgitam, the song composed by me or sung by me, Bhagavat Stavam, a prayer offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adhiyanaha, by regular study. Duraradhyam, very difficult to worship. Harim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aradhayati. He can, however, worship him. Asau, such a person. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada aqui já. Although rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worshipping Him are very difficult, if one vibrates or simply reads this stotra, prayer, composed and sung by me, he will very easily be able to invoke the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Although rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worshipping Him are very difficult, if one vibrates or simply reads this stotra, prayer, composed and sung by me, he will very easily be able to invoke the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. It is especially significant that Lord Shiva is a pure devotee of Lord Vasudeva. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Amongst all Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the topmost. Consequently, Lord Shiva has a sampradaya, a Vaishnava disciplic succession called the Rudra Sampradaya. At the present moment, those who belong to the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya of Vaishnavas come from Rudra, Lord Shiva. To become a devotee of Lord Krishna, Vasudeva, is very, very difficult. The word specially used in this connection is Durarādhyam. The worship of the demigods is not very difficult, but becoming a devotee of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, is not so easy. However, if one adheres to the principles and follows in the footsteps of the higher authorities as advised by Lord Shiva, one can easily become a devotee of Lord Vasudeva. This is also confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj. Devotional service cannot be practiced by a mental speculator. Devotional service is a special attainment which can be acquired only by a person who has surrendered unto a pure devotee. As confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj, Mahiyasam Padarajo Bishekam Niskinchananam Na Vrinita Yavat. Unless one accepts the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who is free from all material contamination, one cannot enter into the devotional service of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Vanghayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam. Yaiman Shradaya Yukto Madgitam Bhagavat Stavam Adhyana Duraradhyam Harim Aradhayat Yasau. Although rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worshipping Him are very difficult, if one vibrates or simply reads this prayer composed and sung by me, he will very easily be able to invoke the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada is saying here, it's very difficult to worship Krishna. It's easier to worship the demigods. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says the opposite. It's very difficult to worship the demigods. It's very easy to worship Krishna. Because Krishna himself is saying, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakti Aprayachati. So what's the difficulty? Krishna accepts a small flower. Krishna accepts a leaf or a little bit of water. And he says, it's very easy to worship me. Susukam kartum avyayam. Krishna says it's easy, and not only is it easy, but it's happily performed. It's a very pleasant activity to worship Krishna. It's a very natural activity for the soul to worship Krishna. So, it's the most simple an easy and natural process because it's actually our original nature. So Krishna says that, but here Lord Shiva is saying durarādyam Hari, that Hari is very difficult to be worshipped. So how to understand that, no? Is it difficult? Is it simple? Or if there is difficulty, what is that difficulty? What's the difficulty? So the answer is in the shloka also. Shradhaya yukto. If a person is imbued with faith, endowed with faith, then it's very easy. Bhakti is very easy if you have faith. If you believe, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Yes, I am His eternal servant. Yes, my duty is to serve Krishna. That's my, not just duty, that's my nature, that's my very self. That's my eternal constitutional position. So if you have that faith, it's very easy. It's the most natural thing to do. But without faith, it's the most difficult thing. It's actually easier to perform karma yoga with all the rituals, to worship the demigods with so many different formulas, so many different paraphernalias, or to perform jnana yoga, study all the books, learn Sanskrit, and renounce everything material. Or it's easier to go to the Himalayas and submerge yourself to the neck in the cold water in the middle of the ice. It's easier to do that than to worship Krishna if you don't have faith. If that connection is not there, if that conviction is not there that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it becomes very difficult to worship Him. Because we're not going to do something, no matter how easy it is, if you don't have the conviction that yes, this is the right thing to be done. If I have faith that success will come by my work, then I have to work hard, and I think that because I'm working, then I'm getting the result, so I'm a karmi. But if I have faith that no, work is useless, actually I have to study by my intelligence, by I can figure out everything, I can understand everything by philosophy, and then I'll become perfect, then I'm a jnani. But if I take shelter of Ashtanga Yoga, I think no, knowledge is not enough. Actually, I need to realize something inside the heart. So I need to meditate, I need to perform the process of Ashtanga. And then if I have that kind of faith, that by that kind of endeavor I can achieve perfection, I'm a yogi. But if I do all these things together, or whatever is required, but I have faith that simply by worshipping Krishna, everything else will be perfect, then I can say I'm bhakta. So that's the definition of faith. Shraddha, Shabda, Vishvasa, Kohe, Sudrida, Nishoy, Krishna, Karma, Koile, Sarva, Karma, Krita, Hoy. That conviction that if I simply worship Krishna, everything else will be perfect. That is called Shraddha. And that is very difficult to obtain. That's why Lord Shiva is saying, it's not easy, in the sense that it's not very common to find a person who has that. So Krishna also says that in Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kashid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashimam vetitatvataha. Among thousands of men, no, who are in this material world, hardly find someone who is actually interested or striving for perfection. And out of those who have achieved perfection, hardly can find one who actually understands me. So to find a devotee is not very easy, it's not very common. Most of the population is just uninterested. And of those who have some interest in spiritual life, there are so many varieties of transcendentalists, or of spiritualists, or religionists. But to find one who actually understands, who got the point and who is worshipping Krishna, is something quite rare. So that rarity is because bhakti cannot be achieved from any source other than from a devotee of Krishna. So all people, all the living entities in the material world, they have access to bhakti yoga only if they come in touch with a pure devotee. And there is no other access to the process of bhakti. That's why there is the indirect process. Now Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita from chapter 1 to 6, there is karma yoga, there is jnana yoga, there is ashtanga yoga. And all that can be performed by anyone who somehow has the piety and the anyone who follows the Vedic injunctions. So a person may follow the Vedic rules and perform Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga according to that. And he doesn't need to get the Bhakti Lata Bija for that. He can perform on his own strength. The advancement by the indirect path of the yoga ladder is based on one's power of renunciation, his determination, his intelligence. Basically, it depends on one's own endeavor. But the process of bhakti depends on receiving the bhakti lata bij from a pure devotee. So the bhakti lata bij is the same as shraddha. Shraddha is the bhakti lata bij. That seed of devotion is faith. That's what we get from a pure devotee. And only a pure devotee, only a person who has pure faith in his heart, he can give pure faith to others. Nobody else can give. So only by meeting a pure devotee, one can receive that bhakti lata bija, and then he can cultivate the process of bhakti. Up to that point, one has to follow the Vedic injunctions. There is no other alternative. No? One has no access to the process of bhakti unless one comes in touch with a pure devotee. So that's a very important understanding, because it makes us value even more the Vaishnavas. Because without the Vaishnavas, nobody can come to Krishna. Nobody can come to bhakti. Krishna himself generally doesn't give bhakti. He makes bhakti go through his devotees, who are his bona fide representatives. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samohan Sarva Bhuteshu, I am equal to everyone. Name Dveshu Sinapriyaha, nobody is dear to me, I don't have any problem with anybody, I am equal to everyone. So, if Krishna would give bhakti, we see in the world there are some people who have bhakti, and some people who don't have bhakti. So if Krishna would be the distributor of bhakti, then he could not say Samohan Sarva Bhuteshu. Because he's not giving equally to everyone. Some people are receiving, some people are not receiving. So if Krishna would be distributing bhakti, then we could accuse him that you're being partial. So Krishna prefers not to do that himself. He leaves that for his devotees. Because his devotees, by nature, or by definition, the Madhyama Adhikaris, they worship the Supreme Lord. They make friendships with the devotees. They give mercy to the pious or to those who are favorable, and they keep distance from those who are impious. By definition, the Madhyama Adhikaris, they are not Samohan Sarva Bhutesh. They are not equal to everyone. They do discriminate. They will preach to someone and do not associate with another person. So it's not a fault, or it's not against the nature of a Madhyama Adhikari to discriminate and to give bhakti to one person, not give to another person. So that's how a devotee, he's the one who actually distributes bhakti. So that's the conclusion of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini. So Krishna's mercy actually follows the mercy of his devotees. He'll not give it directly. He's going to give his mercy to whoever has received the mercy of his devotees. When a pure devotee desires that someone becomes a devotee, then that person becomes a devotee, because Krishna will show mercy following the mercy of the devotee. We see Prabhupada's example. He went to the West and he met so many people who had no qualification. They had no pious credits. They had no good behavior. But because Prabhupada wanted them to become devotees, then Krishna gave mercy. And once when Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, how could we become devotees? Where did our piety come from? We didn't have the qualification. So how is it possible that we received this treasure of bhakti? And Prabhupada said, I created your pious credits. So Prabhupada, he wanted that we become devotees. So he's creating the piety that we need. So it's not ordinary piety. Janmakoti Sukritai Nalabhyate. Even millions of lifetimes of piety will not do. Only special piety, which is Bhakti Sukriti, can actually bring one to the platform of devotional service. So Bhagavad Gita also explains what Krishna says in the end of chapter 7. Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam tetvanda moha nirmukta bhajante mandridavrata. That only one who has exhausted all his sinful activities, one who has become purified from all sinful activities, who has been acting piously in previous lives and in this life, only that person can become free from dualities and achieve staunch devotional service. So that appears to be contradictory, because Krishna is saying jananam punya karmanam. Those people who have pious activities, they can achieve bhakti. But that would contradict what we just discussed, no? That bhakti actually only comes from bhakti. Bhakti doesn't come from piety. Bhakti doesn't come from anything else. Bhakti is independent. So, if bhakti is independent, why Krishna says jananam punya karmanam? No, those who have pious activities, they can achieve bhakti. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura and Baladevi Debhushan, they explain what kind of pious activity is Krishna referring to in that verse. So, punya karma that Krishna is speaking about in that case is not materialistic pious activities. It's not ordinary punya. But is actually taking darshan of a pure devotee. That's what the acharyas say. Taking darshan of a pure devotee is the most pious activity. So that is punya karma. And by the darshan of a pure devotee, one becomes eligible to practice bhakti. And Baladevi Debhushana even quotes one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. When King Nimi meets the nine yogendras, he says that you are direct associates of the Supreme Lord. So why are you wandering this earth? You're only coming here. You're wandering the entire universe only to purify the people living in this material world. So, in other words, it is the duty, or it is the mercy of the pure devotees that they wander all over the earth. Because only through their darshana can the living entities achieve, get access to bhakti yoga. So unless the pure devotees, they wander, they go around the world and they preach and they give their darshana, then there is no access to bhakti. And actually before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was something very rare. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it became much more open. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and opened the gate of love of Godhead. He's flooding the entire world with love of Godhead, because by his presence and by the presence of his devotees, then people are getting darshana and they're getting access to bhakti directly. Previously, the way to go back to Godhead was indirectly through karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, by following varnashrama and gradually becoming elevated. But in Kali Yuga, the process is actually direct devotional service, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to open that option. And Prabhupada, understanding that, Prabhupada hardly describes the indirect process in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada only speaks about pure bhakti, because that's the process which has the potency to work in Kali Yuga. So that's very important for us to understand. Only pure devotees, only by their darshana, by association with them, one can get bhakti lata bija. One example of this, one story illustrating this point, is a very interesting. I heard from a Russian devotee who lives in Mayapur, Shri Balaram. He told me how his father became a devotee. And his father, his first contact with a pure devotee was when he was very young, maybe 11, 12 years old in Russia. His friend in school somehow got one cigar, big cigar, no? And he told him, let's run away from school, let's go to the Red Square and let's smoke this cigar. So they went. And they're sitting there in the Red Square, and they started smoking. And when they were smoking, one policeman came and caught them and wanted to take them with him. So they're in trouble now because the policeman caught them, and now either he'll take them to the police station or to their parents, I don't know, but they're caught by the police. So suddenly, nearby, they see a big crowd moving. So many people moving, and there's one person in the center. And the policeman started looking what's going on, no? Big crowd. And then in the middle of the crowd, there is one person, one old man, dressed in shiny saffron robes. And then the policeman got distracted, no? Because he's watching, what's this person? No? He's an old man, like a monk, in saffron robes, and so many people around him. So when the policeman was distracted like that, the two boys run away. They escaped. So years later, when he was like 16, he went to one museum in Russia. And in that museum, there was a statue of Lord Vishnu. So first he got the darshan of a pure devotee. Prabhupada was there in the Red Square, no? So now, years later, he's going to visit a museum with the school. And in the museum, there is this statue of Vishnu, donated to the president of Russia by the Indian government. So when he's going to pass in front of the statue, his friend kicked his leg and he fell down on the ground in full dandabad in front of the statue. So Krishna's mercy follows the devotee's mercy. No? So he got the darshan of Prabhupada. Next step, he got Krishna's mercy. So some years passed and he became a KGB agent. He was working KGB. And he got married, and his wife was also working KGB. Now this person, he is actually against the Hare Krishna. Now his wife is trying to catch the Hare Krishnas, trying to find who is bringing these books from India, no? These Indian books. And she's after the books, not because she wants to read, she wants to stop them to come into the country. But then he has a dream, and in the dream he sees Vishnu. And he's so attracted by that the dream, and he saw the Lord in his dream, and he was so interested, who is that person? A few days later, he sees a devotee in disguise distributing books. And when he sees the cover of a book, he recognizes, wow, that's the person I saw in my dream. I want that book. Not only that book, he wanted all the books. And he got so many books, and he went back home. So his wife freaked out, because she's trying to stop these books, and now her husband is bringing the books to the house, and he's reading the books. So she doesn't know what to do. She's afraid. She's scared what's going to happen. No, this is not allowed. You're supposed to stop these books, and you're reading them. But he didn't care. And gradually he left everything, and he didn't care for anything. He's just reading the books. And anyway, he was almost... So many adventures happened after that. He almost got killed by the KGB. He almost got killed by the Russian mafia. All because he wanted to be a devotee. But he didn't mind. And he proceeded like that. And he had a big challenge because his wife was his number one enemy now, was opposing him inside his own house. But one day he had one idea, no? Two stages. First, he thought, I have to get her to somehow offer obeisance to the Lord. Because that's how it started with me, no? So one day she was watching TV, and in the same table, there's the TV and there is the altar. So he's offering arati, and she's watching TV. And she's laying down and putting the legs towards the table, no? So he asked, please, no? At least could you sit down, don't put your feet towards the deities. Don't put your feet, don't lay down like that, no, I'm doing arati. And she said, no, I don't mind, no, you do whatever you like, I'm watching TV. And by mistake, while she was stretching the legs, she touched the table. And then the antenna of the TV fell down behind the table. So then she had to go under the table and catch the antenna to again fix it. So then he said, okay, thank you, my Lord. Finally she offered dandavas to you. So then, now he's thinking, okay, what's the next step now, no? She offered dandavas. So now the next step, what can I do? So then one day he got the idea. There are so many cockroaches in the house. So he told her, look, you're trying to get rid of these cockroaches for a long time, no? And you cannot get rid of them. So I have an idea. I know why they're not going away. Because cockroaches, they are in Tamaguna. They are animals who like ignorance. And because you're keeping meat in the house, then this is a dirty place, this is a tamasic place, therefore the cockroaches are not going away. So why don't you stop eating meat? And she said, no, I don't believe you. And I said, why don't you try? She said, okay. How long I have to try? You try. She said, okay, 1 week, I will stop eating meat. And she took all the meat out of the house, out of the fridge and everything. She said, 1 week, and let's see if your God is actually powerful. No? If the cockroaches go away, then I believe you. So 1 day passed, 2 days passed, 3, 4, 5, 6, nothing happened. No? Same thing. And he's praying, please, Krishna, don't let me down. No, please, no. You have to do something. No? So finally, 6 days gone, no? Nothing happened. Then 7 day in the morning, she wakes up and she says, so what happened? No? All the cockroaches, they didn't go. And she woke up and she went to the kitchen. When she went to the kitchen, she realized there's no cockroaches. The house is cockroach free. So like that, she became a devotee. And now both of them, very, you know, fired up devotees, and they were here for the festival. I met them and I was very surprised to see, you know, very nice devotees, and all started from where? From darshan of a pure devotee. He just saw Prabhupada once, and that darshan was sufficient. So understanding that, we should think, how can I apply that in my life? So first, we have to appreciate the devotees very much, because Krishna's mercy follows the devotee's mercy. So not only to receive the Bhakti Lata Bija, we need the mercy of the Vaishnavas, but in all stages of life, no? While cultivating the Bhakti Lata Bija, we need mercy. All the time, we need Krishna's mercy. But Krishna's mercy will follow the devotee's mercy. So that's very important for us to remember. That will keep us always respectful and appreciating the Vaishnavas, in hankering for their association. So also another thing we can learn is that, okay, we have to receive the Bhakti Lata Bija, but also Lord Chaitanya wants us to distribute that, so we cannot hide ourselves. We have to go around, we have to show our face, we have to go and distribute, we have to go out and put dhotis and saris and preach and do harinamas and distribute books. Otherwise, how can people get access to bhakti? There's no other access. Unless they meet a devotee, they cannot get access to bhakti. So they have to see, people need to see the devotees. And so it's very important not to travel. Even while traveling, it's good to travel in devotional clothes. One realization I have is that whenever I go and I travel by airplane or by train and I'm wearing dhoti, I see how many people, so many people always come and ask questions, even in India. They come and they ask, so who are you, what are you doing, how did you become a devotee, and why did you leave your country? So all because you're wearing a dhoti. So if we go away, if we go out and we show to people, I am a devotee of Krishna, just that, just by seeing us, people can become devotees. And so like that, we receive the Bhakti Lata Bija from a devotee, we should distribute the Bhakti Lata Bija, and we should cultivate it in our lives. Right? These three things, receiving, cultivating, and distributing. This is our life. And the appreciation of the devotees is extremely important. We should never minimize it. It's not because we already became devotees, we already got the Bhakti Lata Bija, that we can minimize or underestimate the importance of Vaishnava association. Because even though we have received by the mercy of the devotees, we can also lose it if we offend the devotees. A very vivid example of that is Gopala Chapal. No, Gopala Chapal, he offended Srivas and he suffered like anything because of that offense. And for a long time, he was not being forgiven. Even Lord Chaitanya, he wouldn't forgive him. Until he got the blessing of Shivas, and until he got instructed by Lord Chaitanya that you should worship all the Vaishnavas. So what happened after that? Recently I was reading, that Gopal Chapal, after he got the mercy of Shivas, and following that, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he traveled all over the the country. He went to Orissa, he went to Vrindavana, he went to here in Bengal, and he collected the names of all Lord Chaitanya's devotees at that time. And he wrote a whole book in poetry with shlokas containing the names of all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. It's called Vaishnava Vandana. So that book is just a collection of Vaishnava's names. And that's what he did after he got the point. No, he understood, yes, I was suffering so much because I offended the Vaishnava, and the only remedy is to glorify the Vaishnavas. So he wrote this amazing book, all based on the names of the Vaishnavas. And the last part of the book is it's called Vaishnava Sharanam. It's a prayer to the Vaishnavas. So even nowadays, many people, they still read those prayers, or at least the final prayer, Vaishnava Sharanam, as a way to counteract Vaishnava Aparada, to remind us of the importance of appreciating Vaishnavas, no? And keep always like that, connected, receiving the mercy. Okay, so Lord Shiva is saying, if someone endowed with faith, Shraddhaya Yukto, recites or studies this prayer of mine, which is a glorification of the Supreme Lord, Bhagavat Stavan, then even though it's very difficult to achieve devotional service to Krishna, that person can easily invoke the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aradayati asau. Aradayati could be translated as just worship. But Prabhupada, he goes to the root meaning of the word aradhana, which means to propitiate someone, to invoke the blessings of someone, to somehow conquer their favor. So Prabhupada translates, one can very easily invoke the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. Okay, so that's the way. So I'll stop here if anybody has comments, questions. Okay. So thank you very much for your association. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.